This is Liz Reed. This is my podcast called Liz Life Guru. I'm a practicing therapist here in Michigan. This show will focus on addiction, mental health issues from beginning to end. I am also in recovery for the past 20 years and have plenty of topics that can help you from A to Z. So let's get started. Gina, you said something just a second ago that I thought was great. I'm here until I'm not.
I did say that.
That's a great present moment statement. I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, thank you.
This show today that we're doing, this will pertain to it. Life's expectations and letdowns and people that expect too much from us. There are plenty of people out there, family, friends, and otherwise, bosses, whomever it may be, that expect a lot from others and milk us dry in that respect.
Well, and I think it's even harder when people have expectations of you that are unknown. Mm-hmm. Like somebody expects something of you and you had no idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that person is expecting whatever in the relationship, family, friends, or others.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that that's what they're expecting. It's really hard to follow through with that.
Sure. And it, you know, it seems to be like it's a certain type of person too, a certain type of person that is hard to read. You're not real clear. They can be a little confrontational, but you're like, well, you know, they're nice. You know, I love them or this or that. And, but they have expectations within themselves that they expect from others. And we don't have a crystal ball or the ability to read their mind.
Well, and I think too, sometimes they have expectations and they're not clear that that's what they expect from you. And they just assume you should know because of the relationship.
Absolutely.
Well, if you were my friend, you would know. If you were my, you know, since you're my sister, my brother, my niece, nephew, uncle, you should know. And everybody's relationship or expectation is different.
Yeah. One time I had a chat with a friend and she said, we were talking about a situation that had happened between us. And she said, I guess I should just stop expecting so much from other people. And I was like, okay, so that means I let you down in some way. How have I let you down? Although they thought that was a vulnerable comment on their part, it wasn't. It came across as kind of aggressive or you know, like I had done something wrong and let them down. Had I done right, then they wouldn't have felt so let down. You know what I mean? And that leaves us feeling very vulnerable. And once again, we can't read minds. We don't have any idea what the hell they're waiting for, what they want. A lot of times people, and have you seen this, people that become these people who have great expectations for others at one time were people pleasers.
Okay.
So people pleasers can ultimately turn into punishers, people punishers. That's the flip the switch thing. I used to be this kind of person and now I'm this overly aggressive person.
Is that someone who actively has decided that they're no longer going to be a people pleaser?
Yeah. You know who you see this in? Not always. Hello, broad statement here. But with like people who had gained a lot of weight and lost a bunch of weight, suddenly will take on an attitude. That's one example. Someone who didn't have a very good job, now has an excellent job, will take on an attitude. These are just examples. Someone who didn't have money and now does have money, as we call the nouveau riche, right? There's always been that status about the nouveau riche, right?
Sure.
Having this pompous attitude and expecting everybody to anticipate their needs. These are just examples, but one of the things is that it leaves the rest of us wondering how to please you. If you're always displeased or you're always looking for acceptance, you're not an easy person to be around. You're not an easy person to have a life with. It makes you feel very uneasy, very judged, or am I performing correctly? Right? So it makes you naturally want to withdraw from that person. And then when you start withdrawing from that person, they start saying, where the hell are you? How come you're not here? Oh, you always let me down. And then once again, you're like, dear God, I can't win for losing. There's nothing I can do. It goes along with an arrogant attitude. Their focus is on receiving, which leaves the relationship lopsided. So if somebody's always looking to receive the benefit of the doubt or to receive from you or for you to anticipate their needs, this is going to not be a reciprocal relationship. It's going to be a lopsided relationship. We see this can be with partners like the show we just did, with your partner that you've chosen that might not be the perfect person for you, and it's not reciprocal, it's one-sided, or this can be, as we were just saying, family members or friends. Have you ever known anybody who's a taker?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, and that's especially in when you work, in mm-hmm. the work environment, that's mm-hmm. extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And trying to anticipate their needs and what they want and to keep the peace. You want to be a peacemaker. A lot of people like this have an inflated sense of self-worth that they didn't have before, that they expect to be gratified by others, and they view this as high self-esteem. You know, I have high self-esteem, even when they may not be skilled or gifted or educated or whatever it may be, they have this grandiose view of who they are and what they expect of you. And that is a hard person to snuggle up to. So often they have many failed relationships. This is something that we see a lot in the workplace where people have very difficult relationships with their boss. A lot of times what goes on with bosses, I'm working with a patient currently who has a very high-end job, an international job, dealing with many different cultures. So that's difficult in the first place, right there. You deal with other cultures. Mm-hmm. I mean, that can mm-hmm. be very difficult because the way they do things is not how you do things. And one of the things is trying to read what he wants from her. And so sometimes less is more. Instead of worrying about what they may think or what they may want of you, you can just do what you can do, and you kind of have to put them to one side, especially in a work environment. Just do what is expected of you and forget about the rest. Working smarter, not harder, that kind of thing. Okay. But it's hard when you have somebody like this in your life to put them to one side and not try to please them, because that's what they want. That's what they're looking for. Some these people typically are people that it's all about me, focused on their own wants and needs. They excel at taking support from others and highly focused on personal desires and have blinders when it comes to giving you what you need. That can be exceptionally difficult in a family. Everybody has someone in their family that they have to tippy toe around, that they have to make special accommodations for them because of what they may say or do. So this starts us to start talking amongst ourselves on, you know, how do we please this person? How do we make them happy?
I would think that's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
You know, I think you have to be true to yourself. And so if you're not... if you're tippy-toeing around, like, oh, I can't say, I don't want to upset him, I don't want to upset, mm-hmm. you know, I would think that's exhausting that you know, you're always on eggshells.
Yeah, yeah. So if it's your boss, what the hell do you do with that? And
right.
Let's say it's a family member. What do right. you do with that? At least with a family member, you can distance yourself as much as possible. But then again—
but a boss, you got to go see every day.
You got to go right. see them every day.
So how do you manage that?
Well, with a boss, one of the things is to just do the work that's expected of you, period, end of quote.
What's in your job description?
What's in your job description? Because doing more isn't going to please them. Doing less isn't going to please them.
And I think all too often we think, oh, if I just do a little more, if I'm just a little better, if I'm a little more this, a little more that, mm-hmm. then it will go better. We mm-hmm. think that we can fix that relationship. Are
yes.
you saying that we can't, no matter what we do, say, or think?
No, that's something within them.
Right. But all too often, I think that intrinsically, we try to think, well, if we were better people, we could fix it.
Yes. So this patient I'm working with is constantly doing more. And she called me. She was away on a trip. She called me and said, I've been asked to put together a presentation while she's away on vacation, and I did it. Mm. So we had a long discussion about, I hope you did the minimum, because you never should have accepted it in the first place,
mm-hmm.
because no one's going to give you a bonus for it.
Mm-mm.
They're just going to expect more.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you did the minimum and you stick to that, and do not ask them if it was done well enough or good enough for them, because they're never going to give you the answer that you want to hear. It's going to be some sublime, well, you know, it's okay, could have been better kind of thing. And that's exactly what happened.
Trying to keep her down.
Mm-hmm. Trying to keep her down. And, you know, she gave the presentation. It went well. There was a curveball thrown in it. But it wasn't until many days later that her boss was able to choke out, "You did a good job while being away." And so if we live for this person that is a difficult person that has life's expectations for us, and if we live for their compliments and their validation, we will be sadly let down over and over again. So this is about having confidence within yourself. And once again, I'm not talking about narcissists right now, because that's a different topic.
Right.
These are people that are self-centered. We used to always use this self-centered term.
Sure.
You know, these are people that are self-centered that think that these things all revolve around them. And that's the way it is. And they've been allowed to get away with it. Mm-hmm. This isn't something new. And that's why I'm saying people who, just examples again, people who may have lost weight suddenly or have sustained some kind of trauma that left them with a feeling of life's too short and I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Okay.
People and coming now, out of addiction.
Coming out of addiction or people who have just come into money or something, mm-hmm. and I can say and do whatever I want. Not everybody, but these are just examples where it would turn your brain chemistry to start mm-hmm. thinking differently suddenly. Mm-hmm. And so, but a lot of these people have been these kind of people forever. So what do we expect of people? What do you expect from somebody?
Well, I think mutual respect. Mm-hmm. I also think, like, if I have interest in you, if we're going to be friends, you should have some interest in me. There should be something about me that's of value to you or mm-hmm. for you or about me, just because other than what I can do to service you, mm-hmm. like whatever I can do to, you know, meet your needs. I mm-hmm. think that, you know, it has to be reciprocal. Like, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the healthy way to look at it.
Right.
But unfortunately, for the most part, we don't deal with reciprocal relationships. They're always one-sided.
Is that more one-sided relationship? Is that more?
Yeah.
Not normal, because that's no normal is not the word.
Seen more
seen, or, yeah, seen more, yeah. More the
atypical.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's usually, we're usually, think about every relationship in your life. Bill, I ask you to think about every relationship in your life. You step in, Bill's the engineer and president over there in the booth. Think about how each and every person you interact with, you do not treat the same way.
No.
You say and speak differently.
Right.
According, and this is all subconsciously, according to how they react.
In your everyday life.
Yes.
Whether it's a relationship, I don't mean an intimate relationship.
Yeah.
If it's you speak differently to your boss than you do your sister, than you do mm-hmm. your friend, than you do someone, the clerk at the store.
Yep.
You speak to everyone differently.
Absolutely.
So who's the true you?
Yes, who is the true you?
I think it's a combination of all. I don't think that it's any one, you know. I think you're whatever the situation needs. But I know in some situations I need to be more assertive. I need to be more of the leader. I need to take charge. So I do.
Sure.
But there's some situations where I don't have to. So I'm happy to sit in the corner and be quiet.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, you mentioned the clerk. The clerk at the store. Do you know how nice I am to the people at the grocery store?
I am too.
Oh,
thank
my
you for
God.
Your help today.
Oh, I bag my own shit. Yeah. Okay.
I feel I bad for my them because there's so many people that are mean.
Oh, there's so many mean people. I am on it, girl. I got that card out. I've got my scan card. I've got my credit card going. And I'm starting to bag my shit. I'm like, how are you? How's your day? How are you doing? Thank you very much. Thank you. Got that. Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm over the top. Because I feel bad mm-hmm. for what they have to do. So I'm not the same person with everybody. I always claim I am, but I'm not. We're all doing that. We're all, you know, acting and doing things differently around depending on the audience that we're presenting to, right? You got to know your audience.
Right.
That's super, super important. Unfortunately, for people that are self-centered, they don't demonstrate a whole lot of empathy. Mm-hmm. And if you're an empathetic person like me, like you, who kind of tries to find the good in everybody. I mean, you're a school teacher. I'm a therapist. I'm kind of soft and mushy that way. Aw, you know, I feel bad for you. People who don't show a lot of empathy are tough. And we always want to try to help them to have empathy for other people.
I don't think it's possible.
It isn't possible. But we try.
Right, yeah.
That's why we probably find difficult men or difficult relationships or difficult, you know, girlfriends and things like that because we can change them. Nope, doesn't work. A lot of people that are suffering from life's expectations and people that they expect things from often want you to solve their problems. Why don't you solve my problems? I need you to help with my problems. They can't seem to solve them themselves. If they make a bad decision, they need someone to blame this on. So often they can be very difficult. Once again, in the workplace, whatever problem they're getting from their uppers, their upper bosses, and whatever's trickling down to them, they're going to take out on you and find somebody to blame. That's just part of the process, right? So always remember, it's not always about you. You're not the first. You're not the last person that this is going to happen to. They've been doing this for a while, and they will move on and do this to other people too, family and friends. And they assume, you know, very little responsibility for how they treat people and what they say and what they do. You've usually driven them to do this. We always have people that are finger pointers, correct? If you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have done this.
Right.
But this is a heavy burden to bear. Would you not agree?
Certainly. Yeah. The if then.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a job with a family member or a friend where you're picking up the slack for them and helping them because they usually have failed relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect you to help fix them. So sometimes also these people, as an addendum, not everybody, have problems with self-care as well. Taking care of themselves, doing good for themselves, exercising, eating well, so on and so forth. Because in reality, they may claim they have a lot of social respect and self-esteem and they feel good about themselves, but in a lot of the ways they can really feel very bad about themselves. And one of the astonishing things I read about is they have a high mortality rate. Disproportionately receiving social support, always taking and never giving emotional support to other people will end your life faster.
Hmm.
Who knew that loving, giving, and being supportive would make you a stronger, happier, healthy person? I know I feel better when I'm bagging my own shit at the grocery store and being nice to the clerk, right?
Sure.
So giving is better than taking. Giving is definitely better than taking. One of the things you can do with your children at an early age, and I'd like to get your take on this, is that demonstrating self-absorbed traits as a child by the age of 3, commonly parents cater to these children and anticipate their problems, problem solve for them, and don't let the child fend for themselves and allow their children to get away with things. What does that lead to?
Trouble.
It does.
Yeah.
What would you say by the time you met these children? Could you tell that there was things going on at home, that they were being allowed to do what they wanted?
Oh, often. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was interesting because often if a parent stopped in to talk after school about something and I'd say to the child, go blah, 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 go straighten the books, go sort the box,
yeah,
go do whatever. And the child would go off and do it. And the parent would say, oh, how'd you get him to do that?
Yeah.
Because I asked them to.
Sure.
And then they'd say, well, he never does, or she doesn't ever do anything I ask her to mm-hmm. do. And well, I didn't pose it as a question. Did you want to? I said, go do it.
Yes.
So, and I think all too often that's a common in parenting mm-hmm. that, you know, do you want to go clean your room? Do you want to go put your blocks away? Do you want to go blah, blah, blah? No, they don't want to.
How does it make you feel, honey?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you see, you know, well, when he's frustrated, then he'll ask for help. How about we, you know, get there before he gets frustrated, you know, and before you let them frustrate.
Let's bypass all that and tell him what to do because he right. is only 7.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just tell him directly what we need from him and right. how he can fix it. And we will be happy for that.
Right.
And they will be rewarded in some way with a compliment or a thank you
mm-hmm.
instead of a gift. So, you know, it starts at a young age, but this does, you know, they say that 0 to 7 are formative years. This is when a child is made into a good kid or a child who's going to have problems.
And we know for anybody who's listening that there are developmental stages where they start to yes. identify themselves more. So early, you know, 3 to 5, they're not, or early beyond, younger than 5, they don't have any sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
It's all me. But between 5 and 7, they start to identify that, you know, themselves and their importance and interaction with others and how their behavior starts to impact, you know, that sense of community. When I do this, this happens. When I do that, that happens. So that happens, you know, at those ages. So we're not expecting, you know, the same out of a three-year-old that we are out of a 7-year-old.
Absolutely not. But every single thing that you say to that child is being absorbed like a sponge.
Definitely.
And so this develops their character, and the reward and consequences are vital for children because they don't know any better.
And I think we're seeing all too often in recent years that kids aren't experiencing consequences.
No. They are
not. I think that's long-term social impact as they become adults.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Columbine was a big proponent of that we realized that there's a lot that parents do not know about what the hell's going on in their own homes. Not that I'm here to preach about children right now. I have no children. I'm just saying that we see this all the time. These kids come into my office when my parents didn't care. My parents didn't care. Those boys had guns under their beds. Their parents never went in the house and looked or in their bedrooms.
Right. And so your clientele are children who have grown up, who are now in their 20s and 30s and are experiencing things from not having the boundaries that they needed.
Yes.
At 5, 6, and 10.
And they're wondering, and I say this to their parents, if they're so self-centered as young children, when they get out into the real world, what's it going to be like? What are they going to say to their boss? I need a downtime. I need a mental health day. Mm-hmm. I need to take a breather. I don't like the way you're speaking to me. It's too aggressive. They'll never have a job. They'll never have a place. And a lot of our children now, their parents don't even want to make them work. I mean, this stuff or chores and things like that help build character, but that's a whole nother show.
Forward. What's the best thing that we can do when we're dealing with a family, a friend, a somebody?
Well, I think that this show specifically is just the awareness. Just the awareness that, listen, you're not crazy. We have people in our lives, friends, family, partners, spouses, extended family, bosses, and assholes at the grocery store that we have to deal with, that you just understand this is who they are. You're never going to be able to change them. I will guarantee that they were like this when they were younger, and they've always been this way. And this is just something that you learn to deal with and handle. And, you know, these people also know when they're being over the top and too aggressive, because they will, if you stop speaking to them and you withdraw, they'll be the first to come to you because they will have known they've gone too far, because they'll push the limits as much as they can. But it's up to you to have the awareness that this is not beneficial to your life. And at times, no matter if it's family or otherwise, you have to put up some boundaries and say, I'm not going to take that text. I'm not going to take that phone call. I'm not going to jump through the hoops they want me to. I'm going to take care of me right now, and I'll revisit them later when I'm thinking clearer and feel better. They don't run your life. You run your life. Gina, thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not meant to replace treatment or diagnosis by a qualified mental health professional.